News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Now, the news, so often filled with doom and gloom, can leave us feeling like we're living in an unprecedented time of global instability. But is the world really as bleak as we often think it is? Dr. Dale Whelan, I should say, Assistant Professor at Trinity College Dublin School of Psychology, joins us to discuss this. Dale, is the world really as bleak as it seems recently?
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on. I was just thinking there about that incident back in Saipan and how that was a perception of doom at the time and where we are today. I think it's an interesting narrative that has emerged in the world, and I've been doing a little bit of thinking and deep dive into what some of the research would say around doom. And really, I suppose doom emerges for people when they're exposed, I suppose, to constant threats, and that they can't necessarily see any way forward, and ultimately lose the faith in the systems that are supposed to support them. So I think it's not so much that the world is becoming more doom and gloom as much as people have lost a lot of hope in how to make things better.
Why is this? Because, I mean, I was making the point that if you pick any time in history, go back to the start of the century and the war in the Congo that cost, I think it was I don't have the figure in front of me, 1.3 million lives. You look at what was happening in the former Yugoslavia at that time and the many hundreds of thousands of lives that were lost there. You go back to the Korean War and I think 3 million people lost lives. Then World War One, World War Two. Like, there's always horrendous things happening in history, but it seems we're more in the depths of despair now than people were back then.
Yeah, well, I suppose if there's a few maybe ways of thinking about it. First of all, the brain, as evolutionary beings, we have been constantly programmed to identify threat in our environment. So we are constantly seeking out things that are going to hurt us or attack us, which activates a part of the brain called the amygdala. And when we are exposed to constant sense of threat, because we are now in a fully digitalized world, we are seeing things happening, which previously we wouldn't have thought would impact us. And now we do think it does. That's activating that threat response in us continuously. And so the brain, in its ability to try and, I suppose, reconcile that, develops what's called learned helplessness. It's this sense came from an academic back in the early 2000s called Martin Seligman, where you end up, instead of channeling that anxiety into something productive, as our ancestors might have done, fight or flight or freeze, we end up just ruminating and catastrophizing on those thoughts in and of themselves.
How much, by the way, I should say, sorry, the Congo War of 1998-2003, 3 million people lost their lives, not over 1.3 million, as I said earlier, horrific. Like, how much of it is to do with social media and the fact that we have so much access to the horrors of war, whereas 30 years ago we didn't, and certainly you go back to World War II or World War I, we didn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about, I was on the cusp of the introduction of social media. You know, I was a child when there wasn't social media, and then I was a teenager when there was, and I see up and coming children who have access to social media, and they're being exposed to stuff earlier and earlier in life. So they're being programmed and wired to normalize stuff that would never have been considered normal in the past. So, and really, I suppose the way the social media platforms are set up is to reward attention. And what often rewards attention tends to be something that's quite extreme and sensational. So these platforms are built to reward that crisis. We saw that with, you know, the recent killing of Charlie Kirk and how that spread across social media and how it wasn't monitored. And so bad news spreads faster, unfortunately, and algorithms promote that sort of outrage.
Okay, how do we protect ourselves? I mean, if rationally and logically we can say the world is certainly no worse than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. In fact, life expectancy would be way higher today than it was 100 years ago. By a multiple of over two. So how can we rationalize that? How can we say, actually, I mean, is it a matter of stepping away from social media? Are there things we can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to enter into a new era of health recommendations around use of technology. We've already seen recommendations coming from governments like Australia around banning use of social media for those under 18. I think another one has come in Europe somewhere recently. I think you've made a good point, actually, that it's about the stories we tell ourselves as well. So yes, there is a lot of things going the wrong direction, but there is a lot of good things happening in the world as well. Child poverty is reducing. The global south has developed at a much quicker rate due to a lot of investment over the last while in development. So there is something about what we are actually sharing. The brain has a negativity bias. We typically need about 6 to 7 pieces of positive information to counteract any one piece of negative. So really, I think as an individual, all you can do is try and curate life in such a way that be aware of what's happening in the world, but also don't fall into a helplessness trap. I call myself typically a pessimistic, hopeful person. And I remember finding out the difference between hope and optimism as being quite a useful thing for me. People tend to be predisposed to being optimists or pessimists. It tends to be more genetic makeup than anything else. Whereas hopefulness is something that one can actually develop. And we do that by figuring out what goal we want to achieve, figuring out the multiple ways in which we can get there, and ultimately developing a sense of agency to achieve that.
Okay. So, all right. On that positive and hopeful note, Dr. Dale Whelehan, Assistant Professor at Trinity College Dublin School of Psychology, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast. Let us know what you think. Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? Or is it all doom and gloom for you? 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.